Yevgeny Nugent killed a man during a robbery in the 1990s, and he'd spent 2 decades in a Russian prison.
He'd carved out pretty much as decent a life as an inmate who's been in jail for 20 years could expect in Russia. He'd managed to get hold of a cell phone.
That's our colleague James Marson.
He was generally respected by other prisoners, the prison guard. He'd met a woman online and had married her and spent some time with her. So he had as decent a life as one could perhaps imagine.
Nugent, who was in his mid-50s, had 5 years left on his sentence. But he wasn't confident he'd actually be released.
You know, he said that he was supposed to come out in 2027, but he said the Russian legal system is capricious. And so you can be scheduled to be released. But he said, if you do something that displeases somebody, they will find a way to get years added to your sentence.
Then, one day last summer, a man walked into the prison and offered him and many other prisoners a way out.
So the offer is that you come and fight in the war for 6 months, after which you are out of jail.
The man was the founder of a Russian paramilitary organization called the Wagner Group.
He said there are two people who can get you out of here. One of them is God, and he offers an exit in a wooden box. And the other one is me.
Nugent decided to take the deal and fight for Wagner in Ukraine.
It seems like a good offer in some ways, right? And I think to a lot of convicts, it seemed like an excellent offer. I spoke with some ex-convicts who said that a lot of people were very enthusiastic about it because they saw it as a way not to have to spend so much longer in jail. They expected a quick victory. But for a lot of them, things didn't turn out that way.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Monday, May 1st. Coming up on the show, one prisoner's choice and what it says about Russia's war in Ukraine.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Our colleague James met Yevgeny Nugent last fall, not long after Nugent accepted that offer to fight for the Russians.
So I was writing a completely different story. I was intending to write a story about how aerial drones, you know, the kind that you would use to photograph, say, a sports event or a wedding or something like that, how those drones were being delivered from Western Europe to the front line.
While reporting that story, James traveled to a small village in eastern Ukraine, where he struck up a conversation with a Ukrainian soldier.
And after a while, he said, would you like to meet our Wagner prisoner?
Their Wagner prisoner was Nugent. James followed the soldier to the back garden where Nugent was being held. He sat down with him and asked him how he ended up there.
He came out, and he's not a big guy. He's kind of a small, quite slight guy. He looked very tired. He looked weary. But his mood seemed okay. You know, of course, the first question I asked him is how he was doing, whether he was comfortable speaking with me, whether it was his choice to speak with me, and all the kind of questions you ask of a prisoner of war. And he seemed quite relaxed. You know, and his story began in the Soviet Union, when he was, he trained to be a welder. He then told me about how he was in the Interior Ministry's internal troops, which is like a security force, working other jobs, but he just hadn't been getting paid by the end of the 1990s. So he turned to crime. Then a robbery went wrong. He ended up killing someone. and he got caught. He got sentenced to jail. He later made an attempt to escape from jail, which was very short-lived, and that got some years added to his sentence.
Nugent is one of tens of thousands of prisoners in Russia who have been recruited to fight in the war. Prisoners who agree to fight or paid a salary.
How important are these men to Russia's war effort?
These men have been absolutely critical for Russia's war effort. Back last summer, the Russian effort in Ukraine was wobbling. There were gaps in the front lines. The Russians had been on the back foot, and they'd expended a lot of men and equipment trying to advance. And the Ukrainians were pushing forward. And by bringing in tens of thousands of convicts, what the Russians were able to do was to shore up the defensive lines, but also in some areas to advance in these kind of brutal assaults.
On August 25th, Nugent and other recruits left the prison and began training.
For a week, they were housed in a form of prison. They were trained using rifles without bullets, which he said to me, well, you know, showed that they didn't really trust us. And they were told very clearly about what their role would be. Nugent told me that they were told they would advance on command, and if they remained in the trench and didn't advance, no matter what was facing them up ahead, they would be shot dead in the trench by their own side.
After their week-long training was finished, Nugent's unit deployed to eastern Ukraine.
The first night he was there, he was told that he had to go out in a group and go and pick up the dead after a battle.
It was about 8 or 9 p.m. Then they started gathering two groups for picking up the dead. So I signed up to that group, 17 people. At about 3 or 4 o'clock, we were loaded into a pickup truck and taken to a wood.
On his unit's second night out, Nugent said he made a decision.
There are some kind of gray areas in this story where we can never be entirely sure exactly what happened, because some of it is, you know, what happened in between two front lines. Some of it is what was going on in his own head, which, you know, we can perhaps never know. What he said to me was that he was driven to near the front lines, near Bakhmut, which is a city in eastern Ukraine, that was under heavy assault by Wagner at that point. And what he told me was that he, having planned all along to escape and fight on the Ukrainian side, he took the stretcher that he was carrying and he walked to Ukrainian positions and surrendered.
And what did he say about why he wanted to do that?
His explanation was that we used to live in one big country, the Soviet Union, that we shouldn't be fighting, that the Putin regime has brought us to this war, which we shouldn't be having. He mentioned that he had relatives even in Ukraine.
I told him, I've done Ukraine no wrong. I've not fired a single shot. My goal was just to switch sides and fight for Ukraine.
James asked Nugent if he'd ever go back to Russia.
I can't. Not while Putin is in power. Even this interview will be treated as treason.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of The Journal is brought to you by KPMG. At KPMG, we make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. We work closely with clients to uncover insights that illuminate opportunity, develop bold solutions that innovate industries, and create better outcomes driven by data. Brighter insights, bolder solutions, better outcomes. It's how our people make the difference. KPMG, make the difference.
After Nugent surrendered, he told James that the Ukrainians had been treating him well.
He told us that he had been given basics like shoes, clothes, a towel, things like that. He was being fed decently. He even struck up something of a relationship with one of the Ukrainian soldiers, and they used to kind of talk together, spend some time together.
But the Ukrainians were skeptical of his story.
I asked the Ukrainian group that were holding him captive, and they said, we don't trust him. They said, we don't believe that he wants to fight for us.
So he ends up in the hands of the Ukrainians, but it's not clear whether he actually intended to surrender on purpose or he just got caught. And once he got caught, he said, oh, I always wanted to join the Ukrainian side.
Exactly, exactly. I later asked a couple of people who had been in jail with him in Russia what they thought about this. And they said that they thought that this was something he was making up on the fly as kind of a way to stay alive, as a way to survive. But I asked his son about that, and he said that in a way it makes sense that his father would oppose the government that kept him in jail for more than 20 years of his life. So in that way, that would be him wanting to oppose the government that had done that to him would make sense.
Nugent stuck to his story. And in September, a few days before James met him, he even appeared in an interview on YouTube with a Ukrainian journalist.
Nugent, Evgeny Anatolyevich, Nizhgorodskaya Oblast, Gorod Perevoz.
He told about his life and then explained how, you know, he was hoping to fight for the Ukrainians.
The video on YouTube went viral. Now, it has more than 1 million views. James and Nugent spoke for hours. And when James had to leave, he told Nugent he wanted to stay in touch.
You know, I was in good contact with Ukrainians who were holding him prisoner. And I said, you know, look, we'll come back and see you again. You know, we didn't know how things would play out, how they would, whether he'd be transferred to the custody of other Ukrainians, maybe transferred to Kiev, whether he'd be exchanged. But I was interested how, you know, his story would develop. And it turned out to develop in the most unexpected of ways.
On a Sunday morning last November, James was scrolling Twitter when he saw something disturbing and gruesome.
And I see there's, you know, a lot of people are tweeting about a Wagner guy. And then I see it, the guy's surname, Nugent. I thought, oh God, this was a couple of months later.
The video was posted on Telegram by a channel close to the Wagner group. It was titled Hammer of Vengeance. And it showed Nugent apparently back in the hands of the Russians.
So I thought, oh, Nugent, I recognize that name. So I clicked on the video without really focusing on what it was going to show. And I saw Nugent's face, and his head is taped up to this kind of brick post. And he's saying who he is.
Я нужен Евгений Анатольевич, 1967 года рождения. Отправился на...
You know, that he'd wanted to fight for Ukraine. And then suddenly you see there's a guy behind him who swings a sledgehammer that smashes him in the head. And then as Nugent is lying on the ground, the guy smashes him again.
The journal wasn't able to independently verify the authenticity of the video.
What did you think when you saw this video?
Oh, I was shocked, because this is a guy I'd interviewed a month and a half, maybe 2 months before. And I didn't know the circumstances that had led from, you know, him being sitting in front of me in the back garden of a village house in Ukraine, to him being in what appeared to be a cellar with his head taped to a brick post.
And were you able to find out the answers to those questions? What did happen to him? How did he end up back in Russian hands?
So it took me a while to put together the answers, but I got them in the end, because I went in January. I was in Bakhmut with the unit who had been holding him captive in that village house. And I was able to ask them what had happened. And they said that they'd eventually handed him over to Ukrainian military intelligence, who were in charge of making prisoner swaps, and that they had swapped him.
They told him Nugent had been given back to the Russians in exchange for 23 Ukrainian prisoners. Ukrainian intelligence said Nugent agreed to be exchanged, but declined to give more detail.
I asked them at that point, how do you feel about having made that swap? Because it must have been clear to them that they were swapping someone who had said that he'd wanted to fight for the Ukrainians. So he had essentially said that he wanted to betray Russia on camera, and that video was well known at that point. And the officer who was in charge of this unit, who'd been holding him captive and had given him over to military intelligence for the swap, said, you know, it's wrong from a human standpoint, but 23 Ukrainians returned to their families, and that's a good thing. So he saw it in a very clear way.
Did Russia or the Wagner group say anything about this video and what appeared to be an execution?
So a Kremlin spokesman was asked about this video on a conference call with reporters, and he said, it's none of our business. And Yevgeny Prigozhin, the founder of Wagner, released several statements around this incident. You know, one of them said, the Russian people, Russians genetically smell betrayal. Nugent betrayed his people, betrayed his comrades, and betrayed intentionally. The Russian people... And I spoke with Nugent's son, Nikita. You know, his son blamed the Ukrainians. He said he was their prisoner, and so they're responsible for him. They handed him over, and they knew this would happen. So he blamed them. But at the same time, the family have not been given his father's body back.
James says that of the tens of thousands of prisoners who've agreed to fight, it's unclear how many have survived long enough to actually secure their freedom. The U.S. government estimates that since December, more than 20,000 Russian fighters have been killed in action, nearly half of whom were Wagner soldiers. The U.S. says many of those killed were convicts.
What does this story say about the state of the war in Ukraine?
In Russia, the main tool for getting men onto the battlefield is a combination of despair, hopelessness, coercion. These are the main things that appear to be motivating Russians to join the Russian army, either those who are being mobilized, those who are joining because they don't have any decent prospects, you know, including those who are in jail and don't see a better way out than going to try their luck on the front lines.
That's all for today, Monday, May 1st. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. The theme music in today's episode was remixed by Peter Leonard. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.